Thank you. To announce this morning. One is that at the entry there is a book, a memento of the Bighorns in this area for all of you. Oh, this, you guys have to put your fingers in your ears right now.
That's you.
Yeah. Yeah, right. Oh. To be signed for John and Nancy Orwig. It'll be available today and during the week, like Wednesday afternoon when the choir is here at practicing, and Tuesday when I'm here for the text study, but some of you have keys anyway, but find a time to sign that as a memento. We want you to do that either and have that done by next week. This evening is part two of the Scripture, Sexuality, and Church presentation over at Union, 7 p.m. There are slides, sheets with the slides from last week's presentation available both at the entry and in here. If you sort of want to catch up with what we presented, although since I did most of the talking, you know that you can ask questions if there are things that still aren't quite clear from there. Happy to do that. You know, sometimes, speaking from experience, sometimes it is good to review and check on our opinions and our attitudes about a lot of things. There have been times that I've been totally embarrassed at myself to find out, you mean, oops, you know, I was wrong. And I could tell you about them, but it would take too long. It'd take our whole service to tell you the times that I realized that I was, you know, holding on to something I really didn't know about. So I invite you to come, 7 p.m. And I was also asked to have my book available. So there are a few copies here, $10. They're out there. I think I had a couple of them at the entry also. If any of you want that, a book titled A Place at the Table, Scripture, Sexuality, and Life in the Church. And tonight we're dealing mostly with the scripture part of that. And that's one part of the book that nobody has ever challenged anything I've got in there about that. So I invite you to be there. Wednesday this week, again at 4 p.m., choir practice, we invite you to come and sing with the folks who are here starting to sort of form a choir. That'll be good. And I should mention also that coming up soon, Habitat for Humanity is going to have a sale. Be at the fairgrounds May 13, 14, 15, 16. There's also a sign up, a little sheet out there with more of the information about it, so be aware of that. So we turn to our worship service. We begin, as always, with confession and forgiveness. We send people away at the end of a worship service saying, go in peace, serve the Lord. And when you come back, you sort of say, well, how do you do? And so then it's time for confession and forgiveness again. So please stand as we turn to this. Blessed be the Holy Trinity, one God, who forgives all our sin, whose mercy endures forever.
Amen.
God of all mercy and consolation, come to the help of your people, turning us from our sin to live for you alone. Give us the power of your Holy Spirit, that we may confess our sin, receive your forgiveness, and grow into the fullness of Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord.
Amen.
Let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. Most merciful God,
we confess that we are captive to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you, thought, word, and deed, by what we we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart.
We have
not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen.
God, who is rich in mercy, loved us even when we were dead in sin, and made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. In the name of Jesus Christ, your sins are forgiven. Almighty God, strengthen you with power through the Holy Spirit, that Christ may live in your hearts through faith.
Amen.
Thank you. victory for our God. Alleluia. Alleluia. Who courageous Christ, the Lamb who was slain, whose blood set us free to be people of God.
Describing how God's promises to Israel have been fulfilled in Jesus. Through the proclamation of Christ's death and resurrection, God is offering them forgiveness and restoration in Jesus' name. Beginning with verse 12, Peter addressed the people. You Israelites, why do you wonder at this, or why do you stare at us, as though by our own power or piety we had made him walk? The God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, the God of our ancestors, has glorified his servant Jesus, whom you handed over and rejected in the presence of Pilate, though he had decided to release him. But you rejected the Holy and Righteous One and asked to have a murderer given to you, and you killed the author of life, whom God raised from the dead. To this we are witnesses, and by faith in his name itself has made this man strong, whom you see and know, and the faith that is through Jesus has given him this perfect health in the presence of all of you. And now, friends, I know that you acted in ignorance, as did also your rulers. In this way, God fulfilled what he had foretold through all the prophets that his Messiah would suffer. Repent, therefore, and turn to God so that your sins may be wiped out. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
And let us read Psalm 4 responsibly. Answer me when I call, O God, defender of my cause. You set me free when I was in distress. Have mercy on me and hear my prayer.
You are my soul. How long will you be beside my Lord? How long will you love illusions and seek after lies?
Know that the Lord does wonders for the faithful. The Lord will hear me when I call.
Tremble, O man, and do not sin. Speak to your heart of silence upon your head.
Offer the appointed sacrifices and put your trust in the Lord.
Many are saying, who will show us any good? Let the light of your face shine upon us, O Lord.
You have put gladness in my heart, more than when grain and wine abound.
In peace I will lie down and sleep, for you alone, O Lord, make me rest secure.
The second reading today is from the third chapter of 1 John. God has loved us in order to make us children of God. Though we do not yet know the full details of our future existence, we trust that God will reveal it just as God revealed Jesus to take away our sins. Beginning in verse 1, see what love the Father has given us, that we should be called children of God, and that is what we are. The reason the world does not know us is that it did not know Him. Beloved, we are God's children now. What we will be has not yet been revealed. What we do know is this. When He is revealed, we will be like Him, for we will see Him as He is. And all who have this hope in Him purify themselves just as He is pure. Everyone who commits sin is guilty of lawlessness. Sin is lawlessness. You know that He was revealed to take away sins, and in Him there is no sin. No one who abides in Him sins. No one who sins has either seen Him or known Him. Little children, let no one deceive you. Everyone who does what is right is righteous, just as He is righteous. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
You stand to read the gospel. According to Luke, the 24th chapter.
Glory to you, Lord.
Jesus Himself stood among His disciples and said to them, "Peace be with you." They were startled and terrified and thought that they were seeing a ghost. He said to them, "Why are you frightened? And why do doubts arise in your hearts? Look at my hands and my feet. See that it is I myself. Touch me and see, for a ghost does not have flesh and bones as you see that I have." And when He had said this, He showed them His hands and His feet. While in their joy they were disbelieving and still wondering, He said to them, "Have you anything here to eat?" They gave Him a piece of broiled fish, and He took it and ate in their presence. Then He said to them, "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms must be fulfilled." Then He opened their minds to understand the scriptures, and He said to them, "Thus it is written that the Messiah is to suffer and to rise from the dead on the third day, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins is to be proclaimed in His name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Grace and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. So what's new? Haven't talked to most of you since last Sunday. In Buffalo, the news is there's been more chilly weather and still more on the way. There's some new names that have come to the call committee. They'll be meeting this afternoon to talk about that. And a lot of the same old routines going on. In the membership, Lois keeps us up on prayer concerns. Edie Thompson and Kathy Ryman of Union, the Johns family of St. Luke's, and others are in our thoughts and prayers. What's new? Well, it's the season of Easter. Just look at today's bulletin, third Sunday of Easter. Not after Easter, but of Easter. And in a way, that's because the church has been celebrating this festival through the centuries, ever since the first one. You've heard it before, I'm sure, that every Sunday is a little Easter because it was on the first day of the week that Christ was raised from the dead. Might seem like old news, happens every year. And 2 weeks have passed since the big deal, since the day of resurrection. In Buffalo, it may seem that we're moving on from Easter, like last week's newspaper. So what's new? Well, that's what today's gospel reading wants us to notice. The readings point us to the newness that came with Easter. Now, we could simply dismiss and say, well, everything is new, but let's talk about it. Be more specific. For the first disciples, Easter meant a new recognition of Jesus. Several years ago, a guy named Marcus Barth published a book that I thought got a little more attention than it deserved, having read it. It had the striking title, Meeting Jesus Again for the First Time. If that could be said of anyone, I guess it could be said of the disciples on that first Easter evening. Back there at Caesarea, before their journey to Jerusalem, Peter got it half right, you might recall, when he said, "You are the Messiah of God." But back then, the things that Jesus said about suffering and taking up the cross made no sense to Peter, made no sense to any of them. Now they knew. In the first reading from the book of Acts, we hear a little bit of Peter preaching. Listen to the way he speaks of Jesus. "The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob has glorified his servant Jesus. And he calls Jesus the Holy and Righteous One, the author of life and Messiah." A second new thing, and this is new for Christians of all generations, is a new understanding of power. It's true of the Christians we meet in the New Testament, and those we read about in the years of persecution, and ever since. The resurrection of Jesus turned the world upside down. Think about this. For how many decades now, people have been looking for Elvis, Well, if they found him, the only thing it would prove is that they'd been wrong about saying he was dead, whenever back then was. But Easter is not about one who survived. It is rather about one who was raised from death. By Good Friday evening, the disciples of Jesus knew that he was dead. They knew a dreadful thing had happened, that his death was undeserved. As the repentant thief said, "This man has done nothing wrong." By Friday evening and Saturday, what they knew was that, right or wrong, the big shots had had their way again. The people who were in charge were still in charge, still in control. The priests and the scribes and the Romans, they're the ones that called the shots. The disciples knew that others could dream their dreams and see visions of a new world, but everyone knew who had the power. But Easter brought a new reality, a new view of where true power lay. Now, there's a little problem with this. Maybe you see it. Because we don't often live as if we believe that those first disciples were right. We don't live sometimes as if we believe what they say, because earthly rulers, sadly, have usually been able to bring Christians into line so that we see things their way, follow their model of what power looks like. So folks in the church, pretty much friends like folks outside the church, remain committed to violence and power politics. But Easter keeps inviting us to see the world new. Eric Meyer was a wise and learned Lutheran whom I met while serving an interim in Logan, Utah. I heard Eric observe one time, "As long as I've been alive, it seems there's always just one more group we have to kill." Pretty wise observation, isn't it? But Easter brings a different message. The resurrection was the most earth-shaking political statement ever made. We put it into words, you know, every time we pray the Lord's Prayer. The kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours now and forever. But that's more than something we say to God. Those words are asserted in the face of the world we live in the face of every emperor and every dictator, every prime minister and president. We recognize the power that earthly rulers have, but because of Easter, we also know the power they don't have. What's new? Another new thing is a new way of understanding the Bible and history. As Luke told the Easter story, he wrote these words, "Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures." There are a number of ways to read the Bible, of course, as a science text, a history book, a rule book. We can poke around finding texts to support our opinions or to read it in ways that justify us. But when the risen Christ met the disciples, he opened their minds to understand the scriptures. Earlier that same day when Jesus walked with those disciples on the way to Emmaus, we're told he interpreted to them the things about himself in all of Scripture. Now, think about that. At that time, there was no New Testament. So when the reading says Scriptures, it means our Old Testament. And although we can find a few verses there that make us think of Jesus, mostly it's stories and recitals of history and old law quotes. But the point is that the whole thing, the whole story points to Jesus, not in the form of proof texts or little verses, but rather in the whole telling of God's good creation and the constant theme of human failure and human rebellion and God's continual restoration and God's continual new promise. Those all lead ultimately to the gift of Jesus. New life, new covenant, forgiveness, and eternal promise. What is new because of Easter, then, friends, is a new message to be proclaimed. That Easter evening, Jesus told the disciples that, quote, repentance and forgiveness of sins is to be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. But we miss the point if we assume that the message of repentance and forgiveness is directed only to people out there. As we read the scriptures, we should notice how often St. Paul writes about the problems in the churches that he founded and the congregations that he knew. The need for repentance and forgiveness of sins has always been just as important within the community. Unfortunate, but true, I guess, but I think probably most of us have some little inner private list of people that we think ought to be the first in line to repent. We have a pretty good idea of what their repentance should look like. But to take this new word, if this is to take shape in our lives, in our families, in our congregation, as St. Paul reminds us, be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. One question then is whether we recognize ourselves in that old spiritual, it's a me, O Lord, standing in the need of prayer. More than two centuries ago, there was a scholar, we learned the name in seminary, named Johann Bengel, who advised scholars, quote, apply yourself totally to the text, then apply the text totally to yourself. It works with the proclamation of repentance and forgiveness. And finally, Easter gives us a new way of seeing ourselves. In the gospel reading, Jesus says, you are witnesses of these things. In the second reading, John writes, see what love God has given us that we should be called children of God. And that is what we are. Get that straight. That is our identity by God's grace. You, we, Union and St. Luke's, children of God. A link in that great chain of witness by which Christ is proclaimed and by which the resurrection continues to have power in our world. And all of that can change the way we function in the world, the way we interact with our neighbors, the way we share with, care for, and pray for all. And so in this world made new by Easter, may God's blessing on this congregation continue to roll. And may our life together continue to bring life and renewal to many. Amen. Living God, in the midst of Easter joy, we are still filled with questions and wondering. Open our hearts and minds as we encounter the scriptures so that the church embodies repentance and forgiveness in the name of Jesus to all nations. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Creating God, like a master artist, you have fashioned the universe out of your love and delight. Heal your creation where it is in need of restoration. Provide all inhabitants of earth a peaceful and sustainable home. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
God of all, the nations hunger and thirst for your righteousness. Many call on you for guidance and strength. Answer their hopes with the peace of Christ, and give your loving kindness to national, state, and local leaders and people. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Healing God, you hear the cries of those in need answered and answer them in their distress. Grant to those who are sick and suffering your compassion, and nurse them back to health and wholeness where that is your will. Grant them comfort and the assurance of your love, whatever the circumstances. Be close to the hearts of the lonely. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Loving parent, you have given us such love that we should be called the children of God. Reveal yourself to us so that we in this community of faith will become more and more like you in our mutual love and bold witness. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
We pray that the Holy Spirit will continue working through our joint call committee, through those who are helping us, and through the candidates. We pray that the Spirit will be at work for all, for our good. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
God of all times and ages, those who have died and you now see you as you are, we thank you for their lives among us. Assure us of the peace you have promised, that we may join them in everlasting life. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
In the hope of new life in Christ, we raise our prayers to you, trusting in your never-ending goodness and mercy. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen.
The peace of Christ be with you always.
And also with you.
We share a sign of peace in whatever form, we feel free to do that, whether by a handshake, a sign of peace, or worship. Again, the church is sustained and a ministry carried out by the generosity of people who recognize the gifts we have received from God and return portions of that for the sake of congregation, neighbor, and world. And we are grateful to God for you, and we are grateful to you for the gifts that continue to sustain the ministry of St. Luke's here and everywhere. Because the reach is indeed long through all of these ways, and I don't know, you've probably heard this many times, but through Lutheran World Relief, whenever there are emergencies around the world, we are usually the first there and the last to leave because we stay with it. And we have been a blessing to many, and your gifts make those kinds of ministries possible. And so we are grateful for them. We continue now with the offertory song of the Vineyards.
Let the vineyards be fruitful, Lord, and fill to the brim our cup of blessings. Gather a harvest of the seeds that are sown, that we may be fed with the bread of life. Gather the hopes and dreams of all, unite them with the prayers we offer. Grace on our table with your presence, and give us a foretaste of the feast to come.
Let us pray. Blessed are you,
O God,
ruler
of heaven and earth. Day by day you shower us with blessings, as you have raised us to new life in Christ. Give us glad and generous hearts, ready to praise you and respond to those in need. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord.
Amen. Now please stand as we turn to great thanksgiving. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and Merciful God, for the glorious resurrection of our Savior Jesus Christ, the true Paschal Lamb who gave himself to take away our sin, who in dying has destroyed death, and in rising has brought us to eternal life. and so with Mary Magdalene and Peter and all the witnesses of the resurrection, with earth and sea and all their creatures, and with angels and archangels, cherubim and seraphim, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Your Son, who reached out to heal the sick and suffering, who preached good news to the poor, and who on the cross opened his arms to all. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread and gave thanks, broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body, given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." Remembering, therefore, his death, resurrection, and ascension, we await his coming in glory. Pour out upon us the spirit of your love, O Lord, and unite the wills of all who share this heavenly food, the body and blood of Jesus Christ our Lord, to whom with you and the Holy Spirit be all honor and glory now and forever.
Amen.
Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever.
Amen.
Come to the banquet, for all is now ready.
Thank you.
body of Christ given for you. The body of Christ given for you. The body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his grace. Amen. Let us pray. Life-giving God, in the mystery of Christ's resurrection, you sent light to conquer darkness, water to give you life, and the bread of life to nourish your people. Send us forth as witnesses to your suffering and resurrection, that we may show your glory to all the world, through Jesus Christ our risen Lord. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord's face shine on you with grace and mercy. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace.
Amen.
Let's stand as we sing, "We All Are One in Mission."
party, but it came out.
Yeah.